For the 1923 general election campaign, the Labour Party produced two striking posters. One depicted a scene from the Great War, a British soldier in a trench looking out into snow-covered no man's land towards the burst of shellfire. The caption of this poster read, "Yesterday, the trenches." The second poster showed a man and a woman, with the woman cradling a small baby. They looked desolate and disconsolate on a bleak, dark grey landscape. They're walking, looking to the ground. Perhaps they're homeless. In the background is the headgear at a colliery, the structure which was used to lift men up and down a mine shaft. The caption reads, "Today, unemployed." These sentiments, "Yesterday the trenches, today unemployed," sum up one popular interpretation of the early 1920s and indeed of the 1930s, that men who fought bravely in the trenches were not looked after when they returned home, despite the promise of David Lloyd George that his post-war government would build a land fit for heroes to live in. Such a promise is widely seen as being dashed and betrayed. Now, I think there is a danger that the heroes betrayed thesis is overstated. There was much change and reform in the interwar years. In a number of areas, including health, benefits and anti-poverty measures, conservatives in power did more than previous governments. They built on the foundations of the welfare state laid prior to the Great War by the Liberals. Neville Chamberlain was especially active as Minister for Health in 1924-29. But, and it's a big but, the changes were piecemeal and they didn't satisfy such desires as existed for more radical change. At the end of the war, Britain had had almost full employment, but by the early 1920s, unemployment stood at more than 15%. And though falling to around 10% in the latter part of the decade, it rose to over 20% in the early 1930s. Unemployment among ex-soldiers was the particular and persistent complaint of many people, and that allowed the development of the idea that the Land Fit for Heroes pledge had been reneged upon. I think the big question in relation to how much reform the war brought about is how far changes that there were really were caused by the war, or whether politics just went on business as usual in spite of the war experience. Some developments probably were speeded up. In the case of the British Empire, the Dominions and Colonies' contribution to the war effort probably hastened their demand for self-government, especially in relation to international policy. But for women in Britain, the independence they had gained through doing so-called men's work in factories and on transport during the war came to an end. They returned to home and duty, and the men returned to work.